Hold up. Well, anyway, yeah, we're in the draft.
Yeah.
It's loud as hell.
It's loud, and between round one and round two, that playlist...
It's gotten so damn...
Changed up.
It's unseasoned. We were about to say the same messed up thing.
Man, all right.
So, we didn't record the first two rounds because, well, in the first round, Sills and them was in the back room for all the whole round because it was black.
Yes, there were...
And there was a lot of black players.
Half the picks were black players.
Yeah, most of the picks were black players in the first round. And they were here.
Yes.
And then for the second round...
I think only one was selected. Yeah. No, two. Van Tanten.
Yeah.
Two.
But they weren't here. But we were still processing because the spaceman messed up the Twitter. Anyway.
Yes.
So, what are our thoughts?
So I think first round, since we did not get to talk about it in the immediacy after it, I think the one pick was definitely a bit shocking.
Yes.
I did not have that. I didn't see it in the few mock drafts that I saw. I didn't see it coming.
What? Savvy King?
No, it was Sintner.
Sintner.
Sintner was number one.
Yeah.
And then Savvy King was two, from both from North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And they've had quite a few picks the first couple of rounds, actually. But I thought it was interesting. I think for me, the shock of the first round was Dom's falling.
But she still went to the place people thought she was going.
Yeah, she was the eighth pick. She strikes me as the...
All right, now we're back. So...
Yeah, that was unexpected. But okay, that was the new Portland ownership. So yeah, I think Dom's falling, and she strikes me as the type who will take it personally.
Yes.
NWSL draft. Okay, we're on round three. 7:30.
Yeah, we're on round three. We don't make no comments on time.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, we're gonna ignore the time. I don't know. For me, I think. Well, she probably got out really, really good in that first round.
Yes.
Because their players they wanted were still there.
Yes.
I personally think Croy is generationally talented.
Yes, she's generationally talented.
I think that's a good fit. She seems very excited about Tiki Taka.
Yeah, she's going. Yeah.
But we had a big trade.
Yes.
We had two big trades today.
Two big trades.
We had one with DC and North Carolina.
Yes.
With Ashley Sanchez going to the North Carolina Courage.
Yes.
She and Carolyn might be a little bit of fun.
Yes, they will. Yes.
North Carolina got scary real fast.
Yes.
And then we had the Spirit Airlines. Sorry, y'all. We have the Spirit trading Sam Staub to Chicago.
Yes.
That one was a bit of a shock. So we'll see. But honestly, a decent defense being built there in Chicago under Lauren Donaldson, who, of course... had arguably the best defense at the World Cup.
Yes.
So he knows what he's doing there. And I think our favorite player of the draft so far, in Leilani Nesbitt, being the first Chicago pick, just the star of the draft so far. Okay.
Yeah, in the big zone, she's fire. So if you ain't seen the videos,
they're
uploading on the Twitter. It took forever. They also will be uploaded on IG. Maybe some shorts on YouTube. I don't know, because there's all kind of violations all over the place.
Yeah.
Because...
Game change, man. Game
change. Game changed. It's a lot of... Yo, it is loud up in this thing.
It's really loud this year. I don't know if it's the structure.
And we're playing all the music of the... Mm. That's not... It's not... It's somebody's music. It's not mine. It's not music for me. It's music for...
The...
Hey. The... Sour cream. SC.
Okay.
No shade. If you feel offended, then you might be one. But anyway.
Yes.
But Utah's on the clock.
Again, it feels like that's always the condition.
Is it going to be somebody else from BYU?
Half that team got drafted.
Does Utah State got a team?
Yeah, because Utah State does have a player that got drafted.
They're going to draft somebody else from Utah.
They've also drafted players from Utah, but not to the Royals. Like, the last pick of the second round, was at Wisconsin, but she's from Utah.
But anyway, we will be back.
Yes.
Hello. There is a timeout. We were almost free. We were in the middle of third round. We just had food that we're not going to talk about it. Anyway, hello. We got a guest. What's your name?
My name is Trevor Tracy. What's good?
How are you
feeling? Managing editor at Angels of Parade here on site with Shea Butter FC at the NWSL draft.
How are you feeling about the draft?
It's been fun. This is my first draft for any sport, and it's been a lot of fun. I will say, the playlist for the first half, immaculate.
Yes.
Since the second half, the vibes have been
down. How did you feel about 1,000 miles in the Afrobeat form?
I think if they would have played,
I'm stuck there. I think if they would have just played
1,000 miles a song, everyone was ready to sing it. Everyone. I'm talking about white, black, purple, green. We were all ready. And then they threw in like some Afrobeats at 1,000 miles per second. And just killed it. I think at that point everyone
dubstep Afrobeat.
I think at that point everyone knew that the music was done. We just gotta survive now.
There was legitimately like when that beat dropped, the noise that came from our part of the room, like collectively was
the
like
collective
a groan
of disappointment.
And then from there we went from here comes the high stepper in a oomph oomph techno form.
I mean, I'm sure you can hear the music in the background. It's not great. It's
like the beats keep jumping.
They said it's Friday night.
I said it. It's not like respectfully to the person controlling the music. It's like they're so close to greatness, but so far away with the decisions they've made. And it just goes to show you the smallest decision can ruin everything.
Well, there goes.
But I will say, shout out to the Angel City fans in attendance.
Yeah, they are.
Who, despite the fact that Angel City don't have a pick until number 37, pick in the third round. They have been here, been loud the whole time.
Yeah.
They've been celebrating the whole time.
Right.
And every time there's been a trade that hasn't involved their team, they've let everyone know about it. So it's been great.
They were the booers.
Shout out to
them.
They
were the
booers. Yeah, you heard some booing going on.
That
was Angel
City
fans.
You heard on the TV the booing. That was Angel City fans, 100%.
And they also booed during timeouts.
Yeah, they're booing timeouts, which is fair.
Like, currently we're under a timeout. Why?
From a team that has 800 picks.
If you don't want the pick, just let it go.
You'll get it next time. They still haven't. This is the only pick this round. This is the last pick this round. Sorry.
Do y'all want the pick? Nobody wants to. Nobody's trying to trade with you. They can just wait.
I don't know what's happening.
If you don't want the pick, just skip.
I think that's what they need. I think that is the one thing they could take from MLS is just skip it.
Yeah.
Just skip. You don't have to take the pick.
Yeah, you should be able to pass.
Skip it.
You don't need it. You don't need it.
Especially because the odds of some of these rookies, no matter how good they are, getting rostered when they haven't expanded rosters. We should probably look into that.
I will say, there's like a small movement brewing of expansion teams shouldn't have the top picks in the draft the same year. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to let them basically
pick over roster.
Take other teams' rosters
and get the highest
with the expansion
picks.
Draft and get the first and second pick. Like, you know what I'm saying? A team like the Bay was able to poach a lot of players and in terms of giving out protection, they got like someone like Scarlett Cambreros, and then they turn around and have a draft where they can get, you know, Maya Doms.
Right. No. Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's like unacceptable.
Right. They
took her a couple picks too low, but they got Maya Doms eventually.
Right. They can build through the draft, and they're not actually at a disadvantage anymore. I think the idea was, okay, these teams are coming into the league. Historically, they haven't performed very well in their first few years. They're at a disadvantage. Let's give them players. Now with the draft, with more money, with different pathways to the league, I don't see the need for both of those privileges. And that trade protection stuff is like super beneficial to those teams in a way that I think is a little too much the other way.
Yeah, and that's what I think. I think it would be good if we're going to have the expansion draft, either get rid of the expansion draft and give expansion teams the top pick in the draft, or I would have them pick last in the draft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or yeah, pick last in the bottom of the first round.
Yeah, bottom of the first round.
I have a wild idea, right? It's going to be interesting because right now more than half the teams make it. Will we do a lottery? Should we do a lottery instead of just where's the first?
Lotteries are always... I mean, yeah, lotteries protect the league from having teams completely tank.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if tanking would be a problem in the NWSL.
Yeah,
because
not
I feel
like
especially now we're at a point where, as we saw this past season, the point differential between last place and first place is not a lot.
It was the lowest it's ever been.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, especially with the amount of teams in the league now, there's not a lot of teams. It's not like 30 teams.
Yeah.
So you can still have two rounds of a draft and get a franchise-changing player.
Utah Royals select Christina Roque from FSU.
Okay.
Another FSU player? No
is
surprise.
It Christina Rock or Roque?
It is Roque. I'm pretty sure it's Roque.
Okay. Okay, let's see if they play this whole song.
Are we doing it? If I hear Afro beats, I'm done.
I think we're all waiting for it. But this one they play right. Okay, yeah. I guess. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I'm scared, though. We ain't the chorus.
The vibes are picking up again. We're all trying to get that second win before the end of the draft.
We are at the singing Shania Twain portion of the program. It's scary hours out here. We still have another round after this.
Another
14 picks after these.
I'm going to say it. We're going through rounds.
Round the draft. There is
we're
a
moving.
There's four rounds.
Knock on wood.
We're moving through the rounds.
Knock on wood. This will be wrapped up before midnight on the East Coast.
We're not going to talk about any speed or not speed that we are moving through them with.
We're not going to list no times. We're just getting through it. Don't look at your phone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I am interested to see who Angel City ends up with.
They have...
It is important to note that last year in the 30th pick, I think it was the 32nd or something.
Yeah, they drafted Angelina.
They drafted Angelina Anderson, who ended up being...
the number one goalkeeper.
Who's going to be their number one goalkeeper. So there's definitely talent to be had, yeah. Especially in this draft being so deep.
Right.
But it's going to be tough to get somebody at 37.
Three more picks before you pick. Three more picks before y'all get your pick.
Nah. I think, again, I want to reiterate, and we will have her back.
Oh, no, it is three more. Yeah, you're right.
Well, we got to talk to her. Is she still here? We will have Amanda back on our pod. But,
oh, yes.
It's important to reiterate, some of these draftings are a lot of, it's not even some. A lot of this drafting is happening based on people playing in semi-pro leagues.
Yes.
And so...
I think the top two players were Cal Storm players.
Yeah, Cal Storm players, or they played at some other...
Same for Maya Doms. Like,
yeah.
They
played at some semi-pro league, and when you will hear the interview, I don't know, did we record that part where Amanda broke it down, the different pathways?
I don't think we did, but we can have her
back.
Yeah,
we will bring her back, but the different pathways to get to becoming a professional... The USLW
this has been a dream scenario for
pro
us, the Royals, the entire organization.
So, like I said, Amanda told us that basically,
that is the
what do you call that? So basically, she was like, there's different pathways to get to being professional.
Yes.
And one of the bigger problems is like the lack of understanding of how important the semi-pro leagues are, i.e. the lower leagues, and with the USLW coming in with the USLW, what's that, Super League?
Yes.
They will be playing later this year in August.
August 24th.
Yeah, starting August 24th. And they follow the international calendar that everybody else follows around the world. That'll bring more talent to be able to pull, get rostered. There's no draft. There's no salary cap.
Right.
So that's going to be interesting when they come because they're going to force the hand of NWSL. Anyway, all that to say, you got a lot of talent in this draft that you don't know about.
Yep.
It's a lot of picks people were not expecting. You didn't follow nobody's drafting. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and I think it's always like that. And so anytime you can have multiple pathways, I think it's great, like I said. And I don't know. We'll see if 5 years we're here at a draft.
Right.
Draft. Quite honestly.
Shit, not even three.
I'm giving five just to be safe.
Yeah. Because, again, when the NWSL, the USLW Super League comes, that's going to shift some shit. And that starts later this year.
You're definitely going to see the lower leagues provide a lot of talent. I mean, even now, right? A lot of the players that get selected at the top of the draft are players that not only have really great college careers, but are players who spent time at Cal Storm.
Yeah.
Who spent time with professional league or professional teams and getting that, I don't want to say extra training, but kind of having that added experience.
Yeah, they're trained all year.
Something that even at 18, Angel City's first pick last year, Alyssa Thompson, she played, you know what I'm saying?
So
right. With
rookie
boys
of the year,
and with semi-pro teams and training.
Yeah.
And like, I think she also trained with like LAFC's like second team, yeah. Like, yeah. team type thing. For, so it's just like,
yeah, she was, total football, yeah.
Yeah, so she was someone that, you know, much in that vein, I think that that's what the USLW is going to be able to provide.
Yeah.
It's just that.
And then they also, and so I think the other thing is with the USLW, they have academies.
Yeah.
So this is now the pathway that their academy players, whether they still be going back and forth to college, they don't have to go to NWSL. They could just go up to the professional equivalent that's playing in season. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know her exact quote, but I know she was asked about it in her press conference earlier, the commissioner, Berman,
okay,
about academies. And she said that that's something that the NWSL is looking at,
yeah,
that they are studying from Europe. And I forget the young lady's name, but she mentioned that they did hire someone from Europe specifically to help them with planning out and understanding academies and really that side of it, because that is something NWSL want to do.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think with the USLW, and then if teams can kind of start forming their own academies, you're going to see a lot more young talent come into this league.
I think the academy system has always been hard because the academy system is the antithesis of pay for play.
Yeah,
and so I think it's really just been something that's been blocked off. So I think the fact that we're now trying to get those in.
Well, it's especially hard for players of color, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
I mean, the one thing we could say about this draft is that, especially in the first round, it was a very
black
women heavy draft. And, you know, those are the kind of players that, for the most part, just their backgrounds, you know, it makes it hard for them kind of coming up because soccer's expensive.
It
soccer's
is.
A bit like golf and a bit like,
right,
you know, racing, where it's like it's an investment to get in at a young age. And unfortunately, with soccer, especially where it's going now, you want players coming in at a young age and perfecting their craft.
Yeah.
Because by the time they're 17, 18, which is really young, they're kind of starting to hit that beginning of their first peak phase.
Right.
So, but I would love it. I would love to see NWSL get academies. I think that that's something.
They're going to have to do it.
Yeah. I think that's something you see around the world for good reason. Right? I mean.
But I also think because the USLW Super League, they actually have the academies. They actually have multiple tiers already established back then. It's going to force NWSL to get their shit together, like, abruptly. Particularly because, again, they don't have no salary cap, and they don't have a draft. So you can dictate where you go.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people realize, like,
in the third round of the 2024 and
all right, so I don't think people realize that, like, with NWSL, they don't roster everybody.
Nope.
And then there's a lot of people, a lot of actually Americans go overseas, or they've been going other places. This is an opportunity for a lot of them to come back. So this is actually going to be interesting because there's you kind of see some of these players who were playing overseas. They've come back and played in the semi-pro. But now that it fully goes pro, they'll stop going overseas and start playing here in season, because then they can actually be on the calendar and get seen and then shift. So it's gonna be interesting to see. But yeah, something's gotta shift, something gotta change. Yeah. But this class is super deep, and so yeah, and I think that's where it's important. The NWSL's gotta get, like, NWSL and MLS, they gotta get over themselves. You gotta talk about these other leagues, because then, you know, kids are looking like, well, how did they, I thought they played at this school only. No, like, they're playing semi pro, like,
yeah.
And so that's how you had a development that you can throw somebody like Alyssa, Jeno Nyswanger, you named a rookie out there, and they look like they've been playing for years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Experience that comes with that added. Like I said, it's not just the college level.
Right.
It's that semi-pro environment, right? Like, because you're around other players that want to make it to the pro level.
Right.
And when you're coming in and playing in that environment when you're 15, 16 years old, that's going to always make you better.
Right.
As Amanda said, it creates games of consequence.
Yeah.
Right, that it matters if you win or lose. It makes you better. Iron sharpens iron. So, yeah, I think that's where we're going to head. And if we want to be successful and, you know, I guess linking it to national team stuff, like if we want to get back to being competitive, whether we win every time or not, we're going to have to find another way. The system's broken, so.
It's broken.
I don't know if the NWSL needs to get rid of a salary cap just yet, but I do think they need to get rid of the draft.
Yeah, they
can't
do.
Have both.
When you look at even this draft, again, we talked about how heavy it is on the players of color, but there's still what, four or five players from FSU that decided to go overseas that would have been top three picks.
The player that would have been the first pick.
Yeah, so
gone.
That's talent that the league could definitely use. And I guarantee you those are players that will probably come back
right eventually
in 3 to 5 years.
But part of why they left is because they didn't have a chance to dictate.
To choose where they wanted to play. Yeah. You know, you can't. If you're a star player and you have the opportunity to choose a team anywhere in the world,
right?
But the teams that you want to play for in America are like, well, no, you have to go through this process and anyone can take your rights away. Like, that's right. not attractive to a player. I would rather go overseas and come back when I can control my future even more. Right. So.
And also, don't think people realize players are signed by the league, not the teams. So that's the other thing that I actually seen quite a few players this draft have talked about. Where they were like, they didn't want to play in the NWSL because, like, they could get traded at any random place and not necessarily at a team. Like, if the league wanted to do something crazy, they could do it.
Well, we saw it today with Ashley Sanchez.
Right.
She was traded away. And some of the early reactions, I don't think it was something that she actively asked for.
Right.
So, and she was considered, you know, one of their best players. Right. Now she's just gone. Right.
She's a national team player. She's a championship player. A UCLA alum. I think. Those are the kind of things that shock you, where you're just like, oh, they can still trade people away. You're still at the whim. It's a business at the end of the day. And so they can ask you, consult with you, but they don't have to do anything.
And even, like, the last thing, like, the league can literally move your ass if they need to do it. And so, and I know that's the thing of contention and contract negotiations. So, yeah, they got to fix it. Like, you can't try to be the NFL. Do you want to be NFL broke type shit? Because, like, let's keep it real. Men's sports lose ungodly amount of money all the time. We don't talk about it, as we should, but they lose money. You trying to replicate, like, bad money moves? You trying to temper your way through your shit? But anyway.
We're still here. Pick 35 is in. So let's see.
Angel City picks and
two picks.
We're
almost there.
20 minutes from now, it seems like.
37th pick.
When we come back, we're going to get the Riddler up here.
Oh, huh? Okay.
We're going to get the Riddler.
All right. That man not talking to us.
That man is going to.
He's going to talk to us. We'll be back.
Oh, they said it?
Yes.
Nah.
Hey, these are DTI cuts, if y'all didn't know.
All right, are we going over or
no? Hey. Hello, the draft is over. Hallelujah, praise God. Before 10 p.m. on the Eastern Coast, West Coast.
West Coast, like, definitely.
It's 1 a.m.
Yeah, on the West Coast.
Shout out to all y'all who got to power through.
Yeah, sorry to the East Coasters.
We appreciate y'all. We see you, we hear you. But yeah, how do we feel about the draft?
It's over. So that's one. It's interesting, right? This draft is pretty loaded. I think most of the top players went in the first round. Maybe some snuck to the second round. Some interesting choices early. Obviously some big trades beforehand that changed some things. But yeah, quickest draft we've had in a while. I think a lot of teams knew what they were looking for the most part. I think in terms of teams I think did well, either sneakily or not so sneakily, I actually think Chicago had a good draft.
Yeah, Chicago had a really good draft.
Yeah, I think they were really savvy. I think that a rebuild gives them a chance to sort of pick what they want, and it's a process. There's not necessarily the same amount of pressure on them as other teams. Listen, Utah had 8 million picks.
Yes. And they draft all of BYU.
I mean, this draft, this is the BYU draft, it feels like. Or the state of Utah. Like, they are an emerging soccer power, apparently. But I think they had a good draft. I think they've had a good expansion season, and I think that team's sneaky good.
Yeah.
Like, that team is sneaky good. I think DC definitely cleaned up in the first round. I think Hebs added to them. But I think, you know how I feel about Corey Bethune. So I think that's one of the better gets of the night. Yeah, there's some players I'm really excited to see. I really, like I said, I really like Lalani Nesbitt. Like, I just think,
I think, Trev, you said perfect marriage
of player and
I do.
And
I think, I said it when the draft pick happened, like, just her walking to the stage, she very much had that, like, NFL linebacker, like, I'm that naysayer energy, right? I think that's what
it is.
I'm just going to say, I'm going to be real.
But,
like, she was. She really, like, she very much had that energy, like, I'm the one.
Yeah.
And, you know, after watching her play and listening to her talk here at the draft, it was one of those situations where I'm like, yes, Chicago's in a bad situation, I think, roster-wise. We all know this.
Right.
But she is the perfect player for what that team represents, what that community represents.
Right.
And I think she's a player that they can very much build around.
Yeah. Right.
And I feel like, you know, Andre, our friend Andre, tweeted it. And I feel the same way, where this was a draft where there's a couple head scratchers where you're like, I'm not sure about this player. But 99.9% of the teams have a perfect marriage of, like, players going to where they fit. Not just stylistically, not just tactically, but, like, emotionally.
They fit, they fit the game plan,
Like, they fit.
Right.
They fit. And I think that speaks to just how well the it's a surprise how well the team's apparently scouted this year.
Yeah.
We've been talking about scouting in women's soccer, I think, the last couple months real heavy, and this draft is proof. I think teams did their homework. It was a quick draft, like Sil said, and I think teams knew who they wanted. They knew the type of players they wanted.
Right.
And it was a great draft. I loved it. It's my first, like I said before, it's my first draft. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was great. I'm excited about the players. I'm excited about Nesbitt. I will be watching more Red Stars games specifically
she's
for her,
fun.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, even her interview was great, and, like, she's the one person who said, like, I got that dog. I want it.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to win every matchup, not just every game. Like, she is hungry.
And a defensive mid. Like, you hear a defensive mid talk like that. A defensive mid that could probably be moved to center back, even though she's not necessarily super tall. She has.
Right.
She plays tall. And so, I mean, that's going to be so much fun. A defender with that mindset, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. I think that's a player you build around. Like, I think that she will be the face. Like, the heart and soul of that Chicago.
She's going to be a player I think everyone around the league in about 2 years is going to be like, man, I wish she was on my team.
Right.
Like, she's just one of those players. They're going
to
be annoyed when they play against her.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, I would love to have her on my squad.
She mattered to Florida State, right? And she understands what it is to play at that level, right? You have so many pros that come from that school, that program, and what they've built. And she's been able to carry that and be a leader on that team, and I have no doubt that she'll do it at the next level as well.
And she gets coached by Lauren Donaldson.
Who, I mean, look what he did with that Jamaica team, right? Yep. That, to me, was the best defense in the World Cup. And so you can imagine what he'll be able to do with this. And I'm presuming Mallory Swanson is saying who he is. I mean, that's one of his players that he's bought up.
Right.
So he has all the trust in the world from her, and he in her as well. So, yeah, I think they had a sneaky good draft. Like I said, I think DC had a good draft. Yeah, I think there's going to be some time to sort of go through this and see what other people did and what decisions they made. But I do. I think it's a good draft. I think there's a lot of quality here. I'm excited to watch players develop and get to places where they can do that. And maybe we'll see some more movement, because I don't think this is the end.
Yeah, I don't think this is the end. I think some players are going to move.
That always
there are players that still got to get signed.
Yeah.
But I still think, I mean, just even from a roster construction point, there are certain teams that got 50 billion midfielders or 50 billion forwards. And so that's got to right itself over the next couple weeks. So the trade window closes tonight. Or no, it's closed. And it will reopen tomorrow.
Yeah. And
so I expect some movement.
I think there'll definitely be some movement. I think there'll be some movement in the summer as well, because I think it's after the Olympics, so people can make some assessments after that as well. And know where teams are and where players are and who really is itching to come. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this new crop of players can do for the league, what they can bring to the league. We've had some dynamic rookies over the past 5 or 6 years. There haven't been a lot of misses. So, yeah, I'm excited, and let's get it popping.
Yes. We have now entered the preseason.
Yeah, I guess
2024.
I can't wait for the preseason.
That means players are already back training and running for their lives.
We know when the preseason is. Hey, Jessica, where's the schedule?
Yeah, everybody done left. I meant for them to chant, where is the schedule?
Yeah.
Let us know.
That's definitely a question for Berman.
Yeah.
Or Meg.
Meg don't know.
Yeah.
So
ask that one to Meg at your own risk.
We would like to go to games. Hashtag go to games. Shout out to the tall one.
Yeah.
But we
need a schedule.
We need to know when those games are. Yeah.
Like, particularly, like, who is the Bay playing in their opener?
And can I?
LA, right? It has to be
LA.
We would hope so. What date is it? So one can book a flight.
I would imagine Bay plays LA in the Bay. I would imagine.
Yeah, I think the Bay gets that first game.
I feel like that's a great home opener.
And it's a rivalry.
I was going to say, I think that's a rivalry they're trying to build. Obviously, the NorCal, SoCal.
Yes.
Is always a rivalry.
Yeah. And people are going to watch.
It's a vicious rivalry. Y'all think the LA San Diego rivalry is one?
No, that's small potatoes. Yeah, no small. Offense, I think it's real, but it's that. Yeah. In every sport, the Bay and LA.
It's very.
As a Bay Area native who now lives in LA, I can tell you that rivalry is real.
Yeah,
it's hostile.
Everything from music to fashion.
They hate each other.
It's hate.
It's not really hate. It's more like a cousin type of hate, right? Like, you roast each other. You low key hate it. But at the end of the day, like, if someone came roasting one another, New York comes talking shit, I guarantee you.
I feel that.
I mean, we are a cussing podcast.
all day, every day.
We are rated E.
But yeah, I think we're going to see it, like, much like last year where we saw a very close NWSL, like we talked about. I think we're going to see that again this year, just in a different way, right? I think last season was close because there wasn't really a team to separate themselves. And so you kind of had a lot of teams just trying to, I don't want to say just trying to survive this season, but like just doing their best to get through the World Cup. And I think this year is going to be different in that it's going to be close, but it's going to be because so many teams got better.
Right.
Especially through this draft. And with so much young talent coming in, I think that's going to be, it's going to be such fun year to watch.
Right.
I think if you have the ability to get to games this year, please do
it. And I think it's going to be interesting too, because I think we're at this turning point in women's soccer where, like, these young players know they can compete for starting spots. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a wait your turn kind of thing.
The vets, that generation
that came before them that they watched and they look up to, they're leaving the game, right?
Trinity made an impact day one.
Right. Right.
And so Thompson made an impact day one.
Exactly.
Zaya Bright, Naomi Gurman. Like, these top players are changing franchises.
They're better younger now, right? Like, it's not a... Now, some people peak at a different time, but they're peaking. They're, like, hitting it at 16 now.
Well, I think in soccer, usually we were used to players peaking around 24, 25.
Right.
Kind of like now you're hitting your professional peak. But, okay. Like you said, I think now, especially in the women's side,
We're
seeing players, like I mentioned before, that first phase of their peak is coming at, like, 16, 17, 18. Mm-hmm. And teams want that. NWSL has shown that they want that youth.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, I would rather see that as opposed to their broso counterparts in the MLS who continue to thrive off 40-year-old former idols, right? Like, right. I would much rather the NWSL be a league that's like, no, we're going to bring in the young talent and create superstars. I love that.
Right. A good example would be what they did with what happened with Orlando, where they were a mess in the beginning of the season, and then towards the end, they got it together.
Yeah.
So.
And that comes with growing pains, right? Like, if you're going to go young, there's going to be inconsistency. There's going to, you know, you're probably not going to go on a, you know, a consistent hot streak or a consistent down streak, honestly. And that's the risk of building young, but you're building for the future, right? You're building for the next 5 to 10 years versus win now, right? Different teams have different pressures, different markets, different demands. And I think teams are more sophisticated now. I think they are scouting more. I think they are, you know, doing their research. I think they do have more sound and set philosophies and tactics and things of that nature. So when they're going to look, they know what fits versus just trying to get the biggest names and then trying to figure something out. So I think it's become a more sophisticated operation here. There's more emphasis on the actual football. And we still have work to do, I you know, in terms of where we are in the world. But, yeah.
All right, well, we got to wrap this up because they're pulling
the
table off.
They're about to close the door.
They're kicking us out.
We were out of here by 10. I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
They pulling tablecloths. They getting tablecloths.
Oh, my gosh. Real food. Thank God.
So, thank you, everybody. Good night. God bless.
Peace.
How difficult was the decision to leave after your first year?
It was hard just because of how much I really love it at UNC. You know, it helped me grow so much as a person and as a player. And, you know, it's just been such an amazing journey there and such an amazing season. But this was definitely the next step in my journey that I wanted to take.
How do you feel about moving to the Bay?
I'm so excited. You know, I'm from California, so it's not too far from home. But I'm so excited, and I love the Bay so much, and I love the coaches, and I can't wait to see where this next step takes me.
Is your family able to be here?
Yes, my family's here, and you know, I wouldn't be here without them, so this means the Abbey's the absolute world to me, and you know, they're my everything, so this moment is for them as well.
Is there anyone in particular in your family or maybe your friend group you talked to you about, like, all right, 1 year of college, I feel ready?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult decision to make, but definitely they were all involved in every step of the way, so, you know, they're everything to me, they're my rock, so they're definitely a big part of who I am.
I would say, you know, not going to college or having only 1 or 2 years of college, just becoming more and more, you know, commonplace now. Is that also part of the equation where it's like, all right, it's not a huge risk the way it used to be?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's great. I think it's great for the sport. I think that it's a good path for a lot of young players to take. And I felt like, just for me personally, that this was the best decision for me in order to get to where I want to go. So, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome to be able to see a bunch of young players pave the way, and hopefully we can continue to do that and inspire a bunch of people.
Was there any one person, any decision you leaned on, discussions you leaned on when you were making a decision? Who did you sort of lean on? Father, mother, friends?
Yeah, it was mostly my family. I think that we kind of discussed it as a group and kind of figured out what I wanted to do. But at the end of the day, it was up to me, and they were supportive of whatever I chose to do. So that's definitely, they were definitely a big part of it.
Anybody else? All right.
Good. Congratulations.
I'm excited.
All right, good.
Oh, What's it been like? Hi, I'm Tamara. Congratulations. What's it been like to sort of watch the explosion of the NWSL the past 4 years with all of these expansion teams, players coming in from overseas increasingly as you were building your college career, and how did that sort of shape your decision to stay in this league as opposed to maybe opportunities you may have had abroad?
Over the years, it's just crazy to see how much the NWSL has grown, and I'm so excited to be a part of it. I feel like staying in the States was just a decision personally as well as family. Just to be a part of the NWSL and help it continue to grow for the future and future girls, I just want to be a part of that.
And then in terms of the expectations that you had tonight versus the reality, does it feel pretty much like what you expected? Is it completely different? What's your sort of assessment? I know it's still happening and it's all very fresh.
Right. Kind of go into things with no expectations, so you never know what can happen, but it's honestly just a blessing, and I'm just so grateful to even be here as well as being selected.
Amazing. I have an additional question. So just with your playing style, what are you sort of looking to bring to the Spirit, or what are you most excited to get in?
Right. Since you mentioned our new coach with the tiki-taka, I think I'll fit in well with that. I feel like I'm a cheeky, savvy player, so tiki-taka is right up my sleeve, as well as any other attributes that Washington has.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Southern California, but you know, it's the first time for everything. I'm really excited to see what's to come.
Yeah. You know, Racing just got a new coach, so for them it's also new starts that feel like, all right, this is good. There's a lot of opportunity here for a young player who's going to grind.
I mean, from what I've heard, the people that they have there are amazing, and I'm just excited to be in such a nice environment.
Would you talk to people about, like, to get the lay of the land?
You know, I just talking about everything.
You don't have to name names. Everybody asks each other, like, yo, what's the deal over it?
Yeah, luckily for me, I have a lot of friends who are, I guess, in my position now, who have done this before, so they kind of know more than I do. So,
good vibes. So.
Yeah.
Really, just thinking about your time at UCLA, how would you describe what it means to have a coach like Marbury, just her leadership and how it's affected you going into your freshman year?
I would say, obviously, Mark came in hot. Her first year with us was amazing, and she just kind of created such a safe environment that encouraged freedom and creativity, which I really like as a forward. But, it's been a really nice time at UCLA, and thankfully I was able to end my time there with such an amazing group of people.
What was this
like
for you? Was it frustrating? Was it nerve-wracking?
I would say it was a lot of excitement. I got a little crazy towards the end, but I'm happy with what ended up happening, so I'm excited to get going. Yeah.
Crazy in what way? Like getting a little too anxious, or like trying to chill out, or
just
like
a lot of things happening. Okay. Yeah, a lot of moving parts.
What are some of your expectations that you have of yourself? That's a lot, but
You know, I guess now I can say Louisville. Wow. I was gonna say wherever I do end up going, but yeah, I'm just excited to be able to have the opportunity to make an impact at Louisville, and just to see what's outside of California. Yeah.
You had a couple of people hyping you up on the red carpet as you're coming here tonight. And what does it mean to be able to have them here as you start your professional journey?
Yeah, my family's here, my mom and dad and my sister. And then I have, like, all my teammates here because they're in L.A. So it's really nice. And I live, like, 45 minutes away from here. So I'll be going home after this. we have a whole welcome party back at my house. But I'm really blessed to have such an amazing community here. And
Congratulations.
Who wants to kick us off?
Should
one. How you feel?
I feel amazing. Still nervous. My legs are doing little, like the little shaky things. So I'm trying to sort that out right now. But no, super, super excited. I'm ready to be in Chicago. I'm ready for a preseason. I'm ready to meet meet all my teammates, meet the coaching staff, meet everyone, and they seem like a great group. We're super excited for the opportunity and to be a part of it.
Sounds like you're ready to, like, move now.
I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go. All I gotta do is wear this.
And how do you feel, like, just being in the Florida State dominant program, how is that preparing you for your next step?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go anywhere and be prepared for this, you want to go to Florida State. You know, with what Mark has built over the years and what Brian has come in and has done a tremendous job and is going to continue to be a championship caliber team, and they treat you like you are a pro. The people who they have around them, a staff that is really good at their jobs but also really care a lot about you as players and people, and they prepare you for this 1,000%. So.
And you're getting a new coach in Lauren Donaldson. So have you had a chance to speak with him, and how do you feel?
We was joking about it, about some curry goat. So I'm assuming that's my first time in Chicago. Heard it here. But yeah, he seems like a great guy. He knows what he's doing. He's been in this sport for a while, and I'm definitely super excited to see what he can build over in Chicago.
FSU players have traditionally been pretty successful in this league, so was that like a network you were able to activate to be like, hey, can I get the lay of the land here?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely, you know, you want to have options. You want to just see kind of what's going to suit you best. I think these last 2 years in college, I definitely felt as though this league could my style of play and my game could be implemented well into this league. I have some amazing, you know, people who have came from Florida State and were my teammates, so got to, you know, get some insight from them, and they totally helped me during this process.
Was there anything anybody said that kind of helped you be like, okay, this helps add some perspective to what I want to do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have Coach Bascom, David Bascom. He's a coach over in Baltimore, a pro coach, and he's definitely been the one who's been by my side answering all my questions. My go-to guy for the last couple of days to kind of put all this into perspective and see what all this looks like. So definitely shout out to him. Shout out to, obviously, TMJ for what they've done for me and my family, and obviously my teammates who just continue to motivate me, support me in whatever I do, and I know that that's going to continue in my pro career.
And you mentioned, just lastly, you mentioned some of the skills that you bring. What are some of those qualities that you think you can bring to the Red Sox?
I think I'm a winner. I like to win games. I know what it takes to win games. I said on stage, I'm a dog. I want to be a dog. I want to be an animal. I want to win every challenge that I get myself into. There's a matchup. I want to be the one to win it. And I think that's something, and that's not always, you know, technical. That's more so of a mindset, and that mindset has definitely shifted in the last 2 years of my game. And I think that's definitely going to be super big with a league that's full of incredibly talented players, incredibly strong players, and experienced players. So I'm definitely super excited to bring that into the club.
Is there something that happened that kind of switched that mindset where it's like, oh, let's get some dog in that?
I think it was probably the sixth position. Okay. You know, playing as a 10, you know, you don't. You have to defend, but it's not your primary focus, right?
But six,
right?
Is like a dog.
A six, you want to. Okay. You're kind of like the sniffer outer stuff, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You want to be that one who breaks up the plays, that one who protects the space in front of the back line, and you want to be able to not always, you know, score goals, but you want to be the one to start creating them.
Yeah. And then with that mindset, Chicago, obviously, new year, new owner. Things have been bad in the past. That's in the past. Does that make it attractive to you with that mindset of being like, all right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, life is what you make it. I want to go there. I want to be able to. I obviously don't know much about many teams, you know, here in the league and what their success rate has been over the years. But whatever team I go to, they're going to get all of me, and whatever I can bring to the on that day. Best believe my teammates are going to get that out of me, and my coaches are going to get that out of me. So super excited to see what I can do and hopefully try and bring a championship to Chicago. So,
and curry goat recommendations.
Yeah. And curry goat. There we go.
You up with the curry goat
exactly.
recommendations.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Excited. Staying close to home is obviously a dream come true. I thought it was too good to be true, but I'm super blessed and thankful for the opportunity. Excited to be alongside some former Stanford teammates of mine. I'm absolutely excited to just be able to play with them, learn from so many other new people, and be a part of such a great program. I've been to to a ton of games already, and it's just a dream come true.
What's your mindset going into, you know, preseason now? You got to switch from, you know, college to going into preseason.
Yeah.
What's your mindset? Are you focusing on little incremental changes, or do you have big goals like, I'm starting next to What's your mindset?
Honestly, I think I just want to take it all in, from the training to the coaching staff to all the resources. I'm super thankful for the opportunity, but I really just want to grow individually as a player in the best way I can, and provide for the team whatever it is they need, whether it's on the bench, on the field. I just want to do what's best for the team and also grow myself in the process.
So you talked to some former teammates. Can you elaborate on that, and who you talked to, and
what
some of the advice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really close with Naomi Gurma and Sierra Angie, and we've always joked, like, I hope you end up in San Diego, and it seemed a little bit too good to be true in a sense. That's been one of the programs I've had my eye on for a long time, and being able to just reconnect and rekindle with them on and off the field, I think will be a really great opportunity and something I'm super excited about.
Some of the things that they say as far as Wave FC doesn't mind such a great organization.
Yeah, from what I've heard, at least, they're a family. Although they're a newer club to the organization, I think the culture is right. They have a lot of individuals that want to make the team environment as best they can off the field so that it translates to on the field. So overall, I think from the staff to the players, there's a really great effort in making a family, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Thank you.
Growing
Thank
up you. And playing in California, with, you know, very competitive, you know, youth soccer club scene. I think you played ODP as well. But just how's that helped really kickstart that development and get you into the game?
Yeah, SoCal, obviously, there's a ton of talented people even that we've seen so far that have come out of there that are going to have really fantastic pro careers. And I think the super competitive kind of cutthroat environment that Southern California can bring will translate to the professional career. It's you're always fighting for a spot on the field and playing time and all of that stuff. But ultimately, it creates the best environment for you to grow in so many ways, in your competitiveness, technically, tactically, every bit about the game. I think my kind of upbringing down in SoCal will help me move forward.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Appreciate it.
Well, I think the general approach was find a good mix between players or making like trades that can help us right away, but also like finding new talents, you know, that they can develop, that helps us positional where we have the biggest needs. And I think that Lauren and our coaching team, we are in a good spot to develop these young talents. So that was kind of like the mixed approach of like finding players that have helped us right away at the moment and our needs, and finding good talents that can develop.
And Coach Donaldson, what can you share with us so far about sort of the vision for this team? When people watch Chicago play this season, are you hoping that we associate certain things in terms of playing style, attacking, possessive, entertaining? Is there a vision yet, or is it still coming together?
Yeah, I don't like to use the word hope. I think we will do it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, and that's the approach that, you know, as Bobby says, we try to get a mixture of players. And coaching-wise, we want to be, you know, a team that can attack, as well as a team that can be very resilient and defend when we need to. So we just don't want to be a one-dimensional team that we can go forward, but we can't get back. So, you know, we want to have a mixture of both, you know, flair, good football, attack, and defend when we need to.
Great. Thank you. That's good for me.
Jess, obviously, she's still new to the job, Coach Donaldson. So what made you decide to take the job in Chicago, and sort of what are you hoping for?
You know, it was, I mean, that one, a lot of people ask a question, why did I take the job? And I'm going to be very honest. I think the ownership, and with her dreams and what she wanted to do with the club, moving along, moving ahead, after I spoke with her, I was convinced that, you know what, I have to go work with Lauren Ricketts, you know. And then I spoke with Karen, and then I met Babette, and I met the people there, and I'm like, hey, you know what, this is a staff I love, you know, and we have to do some kind of, I wouldn't say a rebuilding, we just retool the team. And I said, okay, I like doing that, so, and I want to experience Chicago. People like that hardcore city. I want to be there just to experience that type of living for a while. And obviously, you know, Mac is here, my assistant, and we figure we could just, I would have fun with this, basically. Okay, you have to have fun.
All right. And also, with your first pick of the night, you all picked Leilani. Sort of what, and this is for both of you, what did you sort of see in her that made you go with that choice?
I see Chicago.
Okay.
Grinding, hard nose. You can rely on her. A lot of time, players like that, you really don't see them, but they're doing all the dirty work that needs to be done. And I see a kid, I watch her play, but I see a kid who's very hungry. So that's what we need on this team. To somebody who can, you know, put in the effort day in, day out, no excuses. Let's come out and let's work and let's get the job done.
I don't know if you heard, but Leilani said that she's looking forward to getting curry goat with you as soon as you guys get to Chicago. That was one of her first plans.
I might have to cook some food for her because, you know, I can make all that. I mean, my kids can survive for that. You
what's
know,
your best dish?
Tell him,
chicken. Jerk chicken. Stale.
Yeah. He eats a lot of
it.
So, you know what?
Okay.
Her wish could be her dream.
Okay. I asked him about the curry goat, and he makes, he's capable of making the curry.